Indeed it does. And we thank you so much for being with us this hour. We will have tickets for you to see Luke Bryan. Luke Bryan's show, by the way, at the Toyota Amphitheater has been moved. It's been rescheduled. It is no longer 1 week from tomorrow. Luke Bryan will perform at the Toyota Amphitheater now on November 3rd. That has no bearing on these tickets. We're still going to give them to you. Just please keep that in mind, whether you already have tickets or you're going to call this hour to win tickets that Luke Bryan is now performing at the Toyota Amphitheater on November 3rd. Amy Trask is going to join us, the Princess of Darkness. Just about 7 minutes or so, we'll have her on. We'll talk about the Patriots. Actually, we'll talk about Kings basketball here in just a little bit. Talk about the 76ers fans. Did you see that clip of the 76ers fans and Chris Humphries last night?
Yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yes, it is.
It's terribly mean-spirited. Marty from Philly, get your boys.
Yes.
Because that was harsh. He, by the way, Chris Humphries is on the Philadelphia 76ers. And they played a home game and didn't go well.
No.
It didn't go well. We'll have that for you. We'll talk some Kings basketball. Jason Jones, our Sacramento Bee, our KHTK Kings insider, wrote a great piece on the Kings and how the veterans are working with the young players. So we will touch on that, of course. Week 5 of the NFL season kicks off tonight at 5:30 here on Sports 1140 with the Patriots visiting the Bucs. It is the first trip to Tampa Bay for Bill Belichick as a head coach, which I find astonishing.
All the years he's coached, he's never had a trip there, which is amazing. Brady, all the years he's played, he's never been there either. And I think it's a big one, really, for Tampa, for both teams. But New England needs to get back on track.
Are you doing it?
Oh, yeah. Tampa's winning.
No, I know Tampa's winning. You said that. You said that 6 weeks ago.
Yeah.
You said that 6 weeks ago. Are you going must win?
For New England?
Yes.
No. It's not. They can recover from 2-3.
What about
chasing?
What
Bills?
About must? Yes.
Okay.
Nobody circles the wagons.
They have two matchups with Buffalo.
Did we ever establish what that meant?
No, it's a made up thing.
Oh,
I don't know. Berman makes it up every year.
That's fantastic. Yeah. Good for. That's how you know you're really good at your job. Berman just makes things up and we repeat it. What about must win for the Bucks? Take them seriously. I mean, they're 2-1. I keep forgetting that.
With the division, though, that division's good. It's strong. I mean, you want to get farther behind Atlanta. New Orleans is coming along.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or they have a bye this week, but still they're 2-2. And then Cam and the Panthers have been a surprise at 3-1.
And that is a surprise. Yeah. And Cam Newton was the focal point of the start of our show. I can't confirm, but I'm confident that Amy Trask is going to have an opinion on what Mr. Cam Newton had to say to that reporter yesterday.
Well, she's told us some pretty good stories about how she was perceived, and this is years ago, kind of inside the Raiders front office and different people, like, you know, I can't remember who it was like, is she going to get a sandwiches? It's like, no, that's not happening here.
We got a text.
Yeah?
From Kenneth Aloysius Rudolph. He says, tell Jason, don't jinx my Bucks.
Oh, it's not a jinx. Said it before the season started, Ken.
6 weeks ago.
Yeah, they're winning this one.
All of this nonsense about the Patriots being undefeated. You said, nope, week 5, they are losing in Tampa Bay to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yep. I feel good
about
it.
I said they were losing week 1 at Arrowhead. So actually, I did not say that at all.
Well, you didn't say it then, but you said it the day before when we were predicting wins. You gave Kansas City a win.
I did. Yeah. There's a big difference between what you and I did. You gave reasons as to why they were lose.
Yeah.
I just said, I got a feeling.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that. What do we really know?
I got a feeling. I'm that Black Eyed Peas song, man.
Yeah.
If anything, it's a must win for Tampa Bay. I love – nothing is better than a must win in week 5.
Yes.
There is – you called preseason game 1 for the Sacramento Kings –
A must win. We're in good shape for Kings fans, right?
We are.
They won.
Yeah,
so
we're trending
everything
upward.
Is okay.
Yeah.
Had they lost, I was done with them already.
And they
were done.
Yeah, and it was over.
Yeah, but like, they responded.
You start preparing for next year.
Yeah.
And then you formulate your plan from there.
Right. But now, plan is secure. They're fine. Must win. They took care of it. And they're bright things ahead.
Now, they play the Spurs again on Friday, right?
Yeah, correct.
In San Antonio.
Yeah.
So if the Kings beat the Spurs twice in the preseason, shouldn't that count as a regular season win?
I'm counting it that way. You know, when Keith called earlier and ranked the four, mm-hmm. we might have to move the Kings in there now.
You beat
the Spurs twice. I mean, come on. Statement made.
Ken text again.
Yeah.
Great. Now we'll lose by 30. He's looking to put the blame on somebody else already.
That's fine.
I had
30?
30.
That's not happening.
That's not happening. Yeah. I had now it's going to be 40. I had a text ready to send. I do this a lot.
Yeah.
Where in the final play will be happening, and I'm just waiting for it to finish so I can hit send. I couldn't believe the Bucks were playing for a field goal at the end of that last game.
And they were a little too confident that it was going to work. It did, but the way they had kicked earlier in the game, that I wouldn't have done that.
And all I wanted after that was a live. I almost wanted to FaceTime the Rudolph house mm-hmm. just so I could see the reaction if a kicker of all things had missed his chance to win the game. I would have loved to
have
seen
the raid.
I would have too.
Afraid to watch.
But yeah, but the voyeuristic nature of America. Just tune in to see what's going on there. Black Eyed Peas does not sing "I Got a Feeling." That's Janet Jackson.
Good point. Thank you, Texter. Right on. They know what they're talking about.
Sign Jason Ross. God bless you guys. Oh, I can't tell you how much we appreciate you. Knowing that you were listening yesterday. And
closely.
You bring back the joke that happened. It wasn't even 5 minutes into the show before you laid out that gem.
Yep. Proud of that one.
Did she sing the song with MC Scat Cat? yes, but as we said, nothing better than a must win here in Week 5, and we will have that game for you. New England and Tampa Bay coming up at 5:30. As we already noted, Kings basketball tomorrow. That's 5:30. Is the 3 o'clock guys, are they here? Are they on the plane?
Grant's in.
Are we working late?
No,
I just didn't know.
Yeah, you didn't get the memo?
I didn't get the memo.
Yeah, Damien, I'm going to need you to be here. Grant will be in San Antonio today, but Doug should be here.
Okay.
As far as I know. As far as we know.
Doug wasn't here yet. I can't keep track of those guys. I think Doug was out golfing. Doug is taking a liking to golf.
I like that. Yeah.
I wish I could golf, man. I really do. You guys look like you have so much fun.
So is it miserable for you?
Well, no, it's not miserable. It's just Super Bowl?
Super Bowl, yeah. We had a golf.
Dude, my body hurt for like days.
Okay, something's going wrong there.
Yeah, I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you who does. The Princess of Darkness.
Yeah.
I just love when you use my nickname.
See, that's what others call her. We just call her Tinkerbell because she is
Sprinkles.
Far closer to Tinkerbell with Sprinkles. Yes, yep. Indeed. Amy Trask. Amy, how are you? Wonderful to hear from you.
Well, it's always my pleasure to join you, men. Thanks for having me.
Well, let's get this out of the way. As we were talking about just a moment ago, we didn't really do much resetting with this topic because we figured you might have an opinion or two on what Cam Newton had to say in his press conference yesterday.
Well, look, I'm going to begin by saying from everything I know about Cam, he is tremendously involved in the community. A good man who does good work with kids and community groups and others. So, you know, I try not to rush to judgment in situations such as this. It was obviously a very unfortunate comment for many reasons. I don't know what his intent was, whether it was an effort at humor, in which case you might want to rethink that approach to humor. Or whether it was sincerely meant, I don't know that. It was obviously an unfortunate comment, but I don't think we need to let this take on a life of its own. Let's use it as a learning moment, a teaching moment, and move forward.
We were talking about, you know, for you, you shared stories with us how years ago, how when you're in the front office meetings and different things, how you were perceived at times, and then that narrative completely changed when people knew you and saw you work and how you did your business. How long did that take, though, to kind of evolve to where you weren't getting those comments anymore?
Well, you know, the comments, and there were not a lot, and I don't know that it was so much comments as to sort of surprise. Maybe that's the best way to articulate it. Look, man, I started my career in the National Football League in the early to mid-'80s. So when people ask, you know, about women in the National Football League, back then it wasn't women, it was women. And, you know, now that has changed and there's some sensational women throughout the league. There's one in the Northern California area, Hannah Gordon, just tremendous general counsel for the San Francisco 49ers. My point is, back when I began, there weren't women. There was me. And now there are a lot more. I never, to answer the other part of your question, I didn't spend any time thinking about my gender or thinking about whether my gender bothered anyone in the NFL or otherwise. If other people wanted to waste their time and their effort and their energy thinking about my gender, you know what? Let them waste their time, effort, and energy, because I sure wasn't going to waste any of mine worrying about whether they were bothered.
Well, we're not bothered by your gender one single bit. We know you're a badass. We've had you on enough time, so we're going to shift our conversations now to football. She's
oh
an
boy.
Author. You Negotiate Like a Girl is the name of the book. She's an analyst for CBS Sports. She's Amy Trask here with us on The Lowdown. Let's start with, you have talked openly on a number of occasions about these teams relocating, and that's been a story here through the first 5 weeks of the season, or I guess first 4 weeks of the season, what's going on in Los Angeles. You were a CEO for a football franchise that relocated and is relocating again. How can you fix this problem in Los Angeles? Or can you?
I don't know if you can, but I do think it's too early to make that judgment. Los Angeles, and look, I'm from L.A. I grew up in L.A., and I'm living back here again now. This city has not had a new football stadium since 1923. That was a long time ago, man. And the Rose Bowl was opened a year before the Coliseum. The Rose Bowl opened in 22. So I think before anybody rushes to judgment as to if and to what extent one or two teams will succeed in Los Angeles, we need to wait until that new building is up. Here's what I know about Los Angeles. When the Raiders were in L.A. and I was with the organization, never ever was the demand for our tickets higher than when we announced the game was sold out. And I used to say, somewhat teasingly but somewhat seriously, you know what, we don't need to spend any money on marketing. We should just announce game sold out, and then everybody will be clamoring for tickets, because this is a city in which, the stereotype, the generalization is greatly true, or true to a great extent. People want a hot ticket. People want to go to a place where it is important to see and be seen. And if the building Stan Kroenke has promised to deliver to Los Angeles is as nifty and cool as he promises it to be, the building itself may be an attraction for those moments when a team struggles. But we don't know that yet.
Yeah, and we also have two teams, you know too, Amy, I'm from down there as well, that besides seen and be seen, they also like winners. And right now the Rams are doing better at 3-1. There's probably a little bit of a groundswell of excitement, where the Chargers are the newer team there. They're 0-4, and they're having just an awful time filling a smaller stadium. And the people that are there are for the opposing team. What would be a bit of advice, I guess, to give the L.A. Chargers? Because that just seems absolutely messy right now.
And boy, I feel for the players because, not a Charger fan, having spent my football career almost 30 years in the AFC West, thus rooting against them, except perhaps on days when they were playing the Broncos or the Chiefs, and I was rooting sort of for the lesser of two evils. I'm not suggesting that I feel for them in the sense that I'm a fan, but I do feel for those players. When it's a home game and you run out of the tunnel and you are met with a chorus of boos because the majority of fans are rooting for the other team, not only don't you have a home field advantage, that's a heck of a letdown for the players, and it is a game of emotion. I made a suggestion the other day on Twitter, which was, if I were the Chargers, I would stop selling tickets for my remaining games. I would go on the secondary market, and I would buy up as many available tickets as I could. So, A, by not selling more tickets, there'd be an opportunity cost, lost money, lost revenue. And B, when I bought up the existing tickets that I could, that would be an out-of-pocket hard cost. But you know what? I view it as an investment. Because what I would then do with all those tickets is I would give them to youth groups and community groups throughout the Southern California, greater Los Angeles region. There's about 7 counties in the greater LA region. And that would be twofold. The results would be twofold. One, I would be doing something tremendous for the community and generating goodwill. And number two, if I'm giving those tickets to Boys and Girls Clubs and youth groups and community groups, guess what? I'm welcoming in the next generation of fans. So I would do something bold like that if I were the Chargers. I would commit a lot of money to not selling and buying back tickets, and I would give them to community groups and say, let us prove to you that we're an asset and want to be a part of this community.
It's easy to bash the NFL, Amy, in this situation. Like, my question almost to you was, did the NFL misplay this in terms of their relocations? But was it didn't San Diego wasn't a suitable option anymore for the Chargers, was it?
I think that a lot was misplayed in a lot of regards. And I think that the writing was on the wall that the Raiders wanted to relocate. The Chargers did try to get something done in San Diego, but were unable to do so. Things could have been handled better. Were I the NFL, and it's easy, I guess people will say, well, that's easy for you to say, Amy, it's not your money. But the fact is, with 32 teams, if each team had contributed, let's say even $10 million more, and let's space it over time, let's say it's $10 million more over a 10-year period, that's only $1 million more a year. And while $1 million is real money, it's a de minimis percentage of money available to teams. So for $10 million more per team, heck, make it 10 times two, $10 million more per year for the Raiders, $10 million more per year for the Chargers. You know, you can accomplish more in the cities in which, and I think I just did the math wrong on the radio, which I can only hope that my dad's not listening to this show, because if I did the math wrong, but what I'm saying is $10 million more per club per team. So that's $20 million more per NFL team, amortize it over 10 or 20 years, and guess what? You've just made a significant dent at solving the problem in both Oakland and San Diego.
It could be worse. You once did math wrong in front of Ice Cube.
Oh, God, you saw that, didn't you?
Yep.
Oh, yeah. It's true. I looked at him when he said on the Rich Eisen show that he was working 18 hours a day. I looked at him and I said, well, what are you doing for the other 8 hours a day? And man, my dad did see that. And I just hope he's not listening now if I did the math wrong again. And by the way, you should have seen Ice Cube's face.
Oh, yes. Fantastic.
He just kind of didn't, and the producer laughed, and the cameraman laughed, and Ice Cube looked at me and ultimately was like, wow, I hired her.
She's in charge of the business.
Yeah. Amy, so then the other relocation that's coming soon is the Raiders. We know that, going to Las Vegas. It's such an unknown entity on a lot of levels. So are there lessons to be learned from L.A., or are they kind of unrelated then with Vegas?
I think in some regards they're unrelated for two reasons. The greatest percentage of Raider fans in the Los Angeles area are in an area down here referred to, and you know of it, the Inland Empire,
yeah.
Riverside, you know, the eastern parts of Los Angeles. Well, that is, depending on whether you drive like most people or you drive like someone to whom I'm related, who I shall not name, who goes perhaps a little faster than most people. You know, that's like a 3-hour drive, give or take, from East L.A. to Las Vegas. Some people would do it in 2.5. So, you know, the Raiders will have a substantial East Los Angeles fan base that will go to Vegas from time to time. The thing I think is interesting about Vegas is Las Vegas is really synonymous with disposable income. Well, right now we are in an economic boom in this country. That's going to end at some point, whether there's an event in this country or an event somewhere in the world that causes a crash, or whether the economy just cycles as it does every number of years. We're going to be in a downturn at some point, and it will be very interesting to see what that means to a team in a city where disposable income is really the name of the game. The other thing, and I think the Raider organization and Raider fans are going to have to understand that there will be a paradigm shift. When you go to a game in Oakland, that is a Raider stadium, that magnificent, magnificent Raider fan base for whom I still and will always have tremendous love dominates that environment, even though there are some fans of the visiting team. I think there are going to be quite a few more visiting team fans at games in Las Vegas, because if you're a fan of the team that's going to play the Raiders on the road and you look at the schedule and say, I can go to one game this year, a lot of people are going to pick Las Vegas. So I think that stadium's going to have a much heavier quotient of visiting team fans.
Amy, we know you got a busy day ahead of you. We thank you so much for spending a few minutes with us. Before we let you go, we mentioned Ice Cube a few minutes ago. Are you happy with the first year, the big three?
Boy, it exceeded the expectations of many, many, many people. It didn't exceed Ice Cube's expectations. It didn't exceed his partner Jeff Quantnitz's expectations or our Big Three expectations. But, you know, the television ratings, the attendance, it really exceeded the expectations of many. And let me tell you, there are a lot of not only former but current NBA guys raising their hand and letting us know we want in. So that's very exciting as well. And, you know, I will leave you by inviting you to a Big Three game whenever you may wish to attend one, wherever it is, and to tell you how much I always love talking to you.
We will absolutely be there. Amy, thank you so much. We always appreciate you, my friend.
I love chatting with you guys. Thanks.
Likewise, the Princess of Darkness in our Tinkerbell. That's Amy Trask. You should follow her. She is fantastic. She's fantastic Monday through Saturday on Twitter, at Amy Trask. She is significantly better on Sunday when she gets really upset by something that is taking place during a football game mm-hmm. that's happening in front of her.
Oh, she'll say it too.
And she absolutely yeah. will. And she'll do the fake bad words with the you know, what are they called? They're not emojis.
Symbols.
Just a little symbols, yeah. But you can feel her anger, and then her back and forth with Jim Trotter from ESPN is always
that's
just
always good.
Absolutely fantastic stuff. So if for some reason you're not following Amy yet, do that at Amy Trask on Twitter. I did appreciate Amy's take. Nate Lundy, by the way, is going to join us at the top of the 2 o'clock hour. We'll let you know when to send your fantasy questions in. Don't do it yet. They're going to get drowned out on the text line, but we will let you know. He'll be with us at 2 o'clock. And Holly Rowe, sideline reporter for ESPN, will be with us at 2:30. She wrapped up the WNBA Finals last night, and she's headed to College Station to cover Alabama and Texas A&M this weekend. We'll ask her about a number of things, including, I mean, she covers the big games in college football. So if there's anyone connected to the pulse of the college football world, it's Holly Rowe. Mm-hmm. I did appreciate Amy's take on Cam, though. She was like, I didn't like it. It was offensive, but I'm not going to make too much of it because
wants to be a teaching moment.
I like Cam Newton, and I just don't want this to turn into something that it's not.
Yeah.
We'll come back. We'll talk about your Sacramento Kings. Jason Jones wrote a great article about how the veterans there, we've spoken so much about veteran leadership for the Sacramento Kings. How is that working out with some of the young players? We'll touch on that. We'll talk a whole bunch of NBA in this final 30 minutes here as we continue with the lowdown on Sports 1140. Who sings this one, Jason?
Oh, it's Janet.
I hate this song.
This what?
I have.
Did she do it justice, though, the other night?
She did not.
No?
She didn't. And I love that Chris starts, like, turning it up when I say I hate it. In Connecticut, they used to play this song before every game. It for like years, like long after the song was not cool. Why is it still up? You're the worst antagonist. I hate you. You guys are so immature. You two need to grow up.
Mm-hmm.
I can't. Mm-hmm. I can't work under these circumstances.
That was good.
That was awful.
There was a little delay game, but it was good.
I'm going home. I can't deal with you two. I do not make enough money to work in this environment. You guys need to grow up. Can you tell that story you told? First of all, can you control yourself here long enough to tell the story about what happened when we say goodbye to Amy? When we wrap up with a guest, Chris always gets on the line and says, hey, thanks so much. We really appreciate it.
Just a little small talk, nothing big.
Yeah, right. And you picked up the phone, and what happened?
I say, oh, thanks a lot for coming on, Amy. We always appreciate it. And she immediately says, oh, I did the math wrong. I go, what? And she goes, I did the math wrong. Let the guys know. I was doing the math. A bug came in and started flustering me, and I forgot where I was. I did the math wrong.
Amy, nothing, I don't think anything frustrates Amy more than when she makes a mistake. Like, if she makes a mistake on Twitter, she won't take the tweet down. She'll just acknowledge her frustration with the mistake that she made in the previous tweet.
Exactly. Point it out. Correct it with a different tweet, but not remove the initial tweet. Yeah.
She is such a fantastic human being. We have tickets to see. I was nervous. I told this before, right? The first time we had her on, I was nervous.
Oh, yeah.
Because she was the CEO for the Oakland Raiders. Mm-hmm. I expected like a total hard-ass, no-nonsense, don't try to be cute, don't try to be funny, just have a strictly informational interview and nothing else. and like she alleviated all
that.
Yeah,
like, quickly went a different direction.
Oh yeah, we got comfortable with each other. In fact, the interview we had with Amy, the very first interview we had, Ken booked it, Rudolph.
Yeah.
And it was meant to be just a one-off to promote her book.
Yeah.
And then it turned into we had her on every week of last season. And
then she's telling us stories of being locked in the outhouse at the top of Lambo, thinking the bus was going to leave. We're like, they're not leaving you.
Yeah.
You're fine.
You sort of stand out, Amy. Yeah. Like, no one's gonna let you know, be somewhere down, you know, on the tarmac. Like, hey, I feel like we're missing something here.
They might leave a backup, you know, or a special teams player.
They might leave a kicker.
Yeah, but it's like they'll know where Amy is or that she's not there. So we'll wait.
They most definitely will. I know where Luke Bryan is. He's going to be at the Toyota Amphitheater now scheduled for November 3rd. So if you already have tickets to see Luke Bryan, you should know. If you don't already, that concert has been rescheduled for November 3rd at the Toyota Amphitheater. But we still have your tickets, and we have them right now. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. We will get you set up for that show. Luke Bryan, November 3rd at the Toyota Amphitheater. You can call for those right now. We'll talk more about the NFL game tonight, the Patriots and the Buccaneers. Coming up in the 2 o'clock hour, Nate Lundy will join us at the top of the 2 o'clock hour. Holly Rowe will join us at the bottom. She'll be with us at 2:30. Talk a little basketball here for a minute, Jay Ross. Jason Jones, our KHTK Kings insider, wrote a great piece today for the Sacramento Bee, regarding how the veterans and the young players are working together. And Dave Yeager, you know, was talking about, you know, there's kind of a, you can't inundate them with too much information. And I think that's been one of the things that Kings fans have been looking forward to seeing when guys like Z-Bo were brought in, guys like Vince Carter, George Hill, obviously Garrett Temple's already here. How are you going to kind of integrate this information into all of these players? And, you know, Dave Yeager said, you know, once we get to know each other, there has to be boundaries. You can't just, hey, guys, we got to do it like this, 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 like, and this. And then come over here. We're going to do things like this, this, and this, and this, and this. So far into this young training camp, it appears that they've done a pretty good job of getting past that get-to-know-you part and of starting to figure out the best way to integrate information into these young guys.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I heard Coach on the station earlier in the week with Grant and Doug, and he was talking about the amount of what the veterans are doing. And literally the other game, the only preseason game they've had, how much Vince Carter is up and talking to players and grabbing guys like in action or at free throw line, those kind of things. And Coach said, yeah, we're all going to figure each other out, even a player's boundary. But there's value in Vince Carter saying something to Bogdanovich, to Buddy Hield, to Justin Jackson, whichever player he's saying something to. They can hear the same thing from a coach. They can hear something from an assistant coach, from the head coach, from Vlade or Peja, from anyone in the organization. But I think it's all the messages, and sometimes when it's your teammate and your peer, that can go a long way too. So I think it's good that there's almost layers of teaching going on, because the reality of the situation to me, Damian, is if this team gets to where they want to go, they've got to find amongst those young players somebody, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 guys, whatever it ends up being, as the core pieces. As the, you know, when we praise what the Warriors did, at some point they realized, didn't take long, but Curry was going to be a piece. Mm-hmm. Klay Thompson became a guy, yep, he's going to be part of our core. Draymond, guys they drafted. Now they've added other pieces, but they figured it out that those three would be the foundation. I don't know. I mean, sounds like Fox will be. I can't say for certain. Maybe it's Scal. Maybe it's Scal and Willie and Hield. I don't know, but they've got to be able to find those answers out pretty soon.
And that's not something that you can force, though.
Absolutely. We'll know. They'll know.
Yeah, right.
It'll happen.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think that Garrett Temple actually talked about that in the article today. We joked on, was it Tuesday? They played Monday, so it was Tuesday, that about the starting lineup with – it was all veterans, and I think they all played like 7 or 8 minutes. But it was Vince, it was Zach, it was Garrett,
Costa, and who are we forgetting? Who do we forget?
I don't
Z-Bo.
Know.
Z-Bo. Did we say that?
No, I don't
said
know.
Zach. Yeah. But, anyway, the five.
But
veterans.
Regardless,
yeah.
They didn't play after that. Thank you, George Hill. They didn't play after that. The other 30-year-old, and from that point on, they just started giving tips to the other guys.
Mm-hmm.
And Garrett Temple talked about that in the article when he talked to Jason Jones. He said when you have veterans that have just played a good amount of time and understand how to be good players in the league, understand how to make the right plays, then that's what's going to happen. You're going to be on the bench, and you're going to start talking to the young guys. Now, this is going to happen all year. This isn't going to be that just happens in the preseason. This isn't going to be something that just happens in practice. I have to assume, at least, this is something that's going to happen all year. We saw Vince Carter the day after it was announced he was coming to Sacramento on the sideline of the summer league game, telling these guys, I assume he was talking to them about basketball. He was standing on the court, and he sure seemed animated about what was going on out there. So I assume that's what the conversation was.
Yeah, and to go back to your other point about where you can't force these things, our instincts would tell us, well, the highest drafted player they have on their team is De'Aaron Fox. He's going to be the guy. Well, that's ideally. But what if it's not? It could be Mason. Maybe Mason's the building piece for years to come. It'll settle itself out, and those veterans are going to be a big part of the growth of these young guys.
And then, and to give kind of equal credit here, it's great that the veterans are willing to take on this role. It's obviously an important part of why they're here. But some praise should be given to some of these young guys. Like when you're De'Aaron Fox and you're the fifth overall pick, sometimes your ears can close rather easily. And we've never heard anything like that mentioned about De'Aaron Fox, whether it was from his years at Kentucky, whether it was from people who covered him at Kentucky, or I think we had his assistant coach on when he was at Kentucky. Like, no one has ever insinuated something like that. But you should give some credit to these young guys who are willing to come in and say, okay, I want to learn. Like, I don't know, but is Lonzo Ball willing to learn? You know what I mean? Like, is Markel Fultz willing
to learn?
Yeah. Like, are they willing to take all of this information in from the veterans on their team who know how to be pros? And I think I remember when Garrett Temple signed, we questioned the contract. Like, wow, this is it's a weird contract for Garrett Temple. We had Nate Duncan on, who was our cap expert.
Like,
he was like, this is just a weird contract for Garrett Temple. Now I want Garrett Temple to sign a lifetime contract because I see what his value is from he has value on the floor. I think he has significantly more value on the sidelines and just being in the locker room with these guys. And I think Garrett Temple's a good player, and I think he's going to be very good for the Kings this year. But I think his value to this organization is substantially greater when he's on the sideline and off the court, teaching these guys how to be pros.
Yeah, it's perfectly said that it's the two-way deal. You've got to have the veterans willing to teach, which they seem to be, and the young guys have to be open-minded and listening. And they've got the good partnership going right now, and now you just hope to watch it grow.
And there's a part of this that's really uncomfortable for me because I hate talking about, professional athletes. Like, they're so often referred to as kids. Mm-hmm. Oh, the kids here because, you have the veterans and you have the kids. Like, they're not kids. First of all, they're grown-ass men. They're professional freaking athletes. They're at the highest level of their sport. So there is a certain level of uncomfortableness in talking about this aspect of this team. But you know that there's so much that they have to learn about being professional athletes going into this season.
Absolutely.
And seasons beyond.
Yeah.
We'll talk more NBA, including an interesting reaction that a Philadelphia 76er fan got. Hey, Philadelphia 76er player got, I should say. Marty from Philly, get your boys. We'll talk about that and some other preseason action next on The Lowdown. Nate Lundy of the nationally syndicated Fantasy Football Hour joins us in just about 13 minutes or so. We'll let you know when you can start sending in those questions. Holly Rowe, sideline reporter for ESPN. She's headed off to College Station to cover Texas A&M and Alabama this weekend. We'll talk to her about college football. We'll talk to her about a number of things coming up at 2:30. And then we'll take one final look at the Patriots and the Bucks. Tonight is week 5 of the NFL season kicks off. You, of course, can get that game here on Sports 1140 beginning at 5:30. Spent some time talking about the Sacramento Kings, particularly their young players, just a few moments ago. I did catch the clip of Chris Humphries.
Mm-hmm.
The 76ers – Chris Humphries, if you're unaware, and you probably are because – he's Chris Humphries. He's on the Philadelphia 76ers. 76ers played a game in Philadelphia last night. Chris Humphries made a lot of mistakes in that 76ers game in Philadelphia last night. The Philadelphia fans let Chris Humphries know he's not welcome there.
Yes, quickly.
Every mistake that dude made, the boos got louder and louder and louder and louder. Is it all because he was married to Kim Kardashian for like a week and a half?
Gotta be. What else would it be?
Because why else would you care about Chris Humphries?
Right. To boo your own guy?
And why are you mad? Because the dude fell in love and got married. Why are you hating on him?
And how long ago was that now? How far removed are we?
That was a while ago.
Yeah.
Why are y'all so mad at Chris Humphries?
Unless there's something else.
Maybe there's something.
I don't know what.
I don't follow the Kardashian stuff very closely.
You're not keeping up with them? Thank you. Chris didn't like that one? Oh, don't shake your head and just, ugh.
That was funny. That did make me laugh. You're so cheesy. It's fantastic. I love it. I'm just not as quick-witted as you and old Charles T. Hamilton are. I guess I just don't keep up with the Kardashians enough to maybe there is more to the Chris Humphries story, but it sure feels like everywhere you go, he really hated. Tristan Thompson, is this your future?
Right. He honestly, I've seen the show, but was he was.
I've never seen it. I honestly got.
He had to
be
a part of it, though. It's been on long enough where he was in it, right? I think. I know Lamar Odom was, but wasn't he in? I mean, someone on the text line. I thought that he was in some of the episodes early on. I guess. I don't
he know. Probably was.
Yeah, because I feel like it's been on long enough. But yeah, I don't know why in Philadelphia, unless he said something else or something in that to the media there to. But otherwise, I feel like it's because of that.
Our 76ers insider, Marty from Philly, just texted us that Chris Humphries apparently fouled Ben Simmons pretty hard in a scrimmage last week. And
that's what it is?
Well, in addition to,
okay.
Perhaps that's what it is.
All right.
Maybe just looking for a reason not to like him on top of everything else.
Yeah, it could be. He's not part of the process or what?
I don't know that Chris Humphries is part of the process.
Yeah.
But if I'm the Cavs and I'm really making one final push, I'm listening to offers for Tristan. I praised Tristan Thompson in the Boston series.
Yep.
He died a very quick and painful death in the Golden State series.
Yeah.
And I credited more of that to Steve Kerr and the adjustments that they knew what Tristan Thompson's only strong suit was. He has one. Be by the rim, rebound the ball, put it back. That's it. That's what Tristan Thompson gets paid to do. Steve Kerr took him away from the basket and took away his ability to rebound, which took away his shots, which frustrated him because then he started taking bad shots, and then it took him completely out of the game. Tristan Thompson is a better basketball player than I or a lot of people give him credit for. But I would entertain a conversation with somebody who may need a big man. You got Jay Crowder there. You got enough to work there on the inside. If you could move him, and I'm Kobe Altman, I strongly consider it.
I don't know what kind of – I mean, I'd always consider things like that. I just don't know what kind of a market there is. He's got a big price tag.
You know what's funny? Yeah. You know where he makes the most sense?
Boston?
Yeah. He does. He makes the most sense in Boston. Yeah. Okay, send the kid back.
Yeah.
And we'll send you Tristan Thompson.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean
– It does make some sense there.
Who needs a big man more than – Boston still doesn't have one.
Right. I mean, the Horford is, but that he's not what – Tristan Thompson would be.
Right.
That's what they're looking
for. You need a guy down there to bang, get physical.
Yeah, the dirty work.
And yes.
Yeah.
You need that guy. You don't have it.
Nope.
And season's going to start here in a minute. Yeah. And you got Cleveland, by the way, is your first game.
They've already traded before. They know how to make it work.
I don't know what Boston would send back at this point, though.
Yeah.
Got another draft pick you can send us? Like, I'm not sure. I thought for sure Cleveland, and again, I understand it's not over. We got all the way until February. Maybe Tristan comes out and kills it, but I don't think Cleveland is drafting with that pick they got from Boston.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's going to be used to entice one more player to get them to Cleveland before the February trade deadline to where you're going in fully loaded in the final 3-4 months with LeBron James under contract, and then you take your run at the Golden State Warriors. And I guess at this point you're also taking your run at either, perhaps both, but probably either or Boston or Washington, and then
Golden the Warriors.
State.
Yeah. And I think more of the motivation would be you got to envision getting there, even though you have to go through the steps. Every move I think they would make from this point on would be, will this help us in a series with the Warriors?
Of course, I think that's what everyone's thinking. Yeah. I think that's what Oklahoma City was thinking, going out to get Carmelo. But they're probably, if you're in the Western Conference, you're probably thinking, well, will this help us in a series against San Antonio? Will this help us against Houston? And will this help us against Golden State?
Right. Kind of got to have to layer it all out like that.
If you do want some pregame action tonight, the NBA TV has a couple of games on, Miami at Brooklyn and Toronto at Portland. I'll probably sit down for a little bit of Toronto and Portland. Mm-hmm. I'll try to keep an eye on them during the football game. Speaking of Toronto, they signed Norman Powell to a 4-year, $42 million extension. Norm, nice job. Nate Lundy of the Fantasy Football Hour, he joins us next. Send your fantasy football questions now. 44-11-40. Nate's with us for a solid 20 minutes. We will get them all answered next on Sports 1140.